flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And that will do it. Hardy effort by the Boston Bruins. They fend off Chicago. They will surround Jeremy Swayman. 2 goals from the captain. And the 81st career game-winning goal by Brad Marchand ties him with Patrice Bergeron for the second most in the history, the long history of the Boston Bruins.
Another day, another win for your guy Joe Sacco there, Keith.
Sacco, what a coach. 6-2. That's the one thing you got to say the Bruins have hit on. When they fired Claude, they brought in Cassidy, big boost. When they brought in Jim Montgomery, big boost. They brought in Joe Sacco, big boost. These players like coaches for about a year and a half. And yep. Then once that shine wears off, you bring in a new one, but you then spark them. These guys, they play hard in the regular season for new coaches.
I mean, look, I feel vindicated, as should anyone else. You were advocating eventually that Monty should be out, right?
Yeah.
Had the scoop. You were the tapped in newsman there.
I mean, I knew it was happening.
But I was done with Montgomery.
I think it was one of those things where neither you or I were like, it's all his fault. But it's just like the way that sport works.
He's lost the team. It was so obvious he lost the team. It wasn't even funny. Like, Claude's a great example. Claude was a Stanley Cup winning coach. He was Jack Adams winner. Like, Claude's a good coach. I'm not saying he wasn't. He had lost the team. It was obvious he had to go. Mm-hmm. He should have gone months and a long time before he went. But I understand it at the time, giving him a little more leeway because he had won and all these things. Yeah. Fine. Coaches get fired all the time in the NHL. We're going to talk to Razor coming up. And he said Montgomery, by the time he was on the outs, was one of the longer tenured coaches in the NHL, which is crazy.
Isn't that wild?
So, like, that's how the sport works. Yeah. It happens all the time. When you lose the team, you can go. You're not special. Jim Montgomery's not special. So, try it out with a different guy. Now, I think it's vindication to a degree. Is it proof that Sacco is a better fit for the team than Jim Montgomery, or is that jumping to conclusions? They've won 3 in a row.
Yeah, I think
they've won 6 out of 8.
Yep. I think he's a little strong only because they're playing a lot of bad teams
right
now.
I heard Milbury say this morning to Greg, and I thought that was a fair point. And we talked about this run before it even started. Like, they're going to play a lot of crap. So,
and that might have been one of the reasons behind the timing of it too. Is like, get Joe Sacco sort of a
soft landing spot.
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, you're certainly not saying this guy has fixed everything, but from where they were playing, I mean, they were kind of treading water. They'd win 2, lose 2, go to overtime, win, lose. Like, that's kind of what they were doing for a while. So, for 8 games as head coach to have 6 victories over that span, you'll absolutely take it. And we knew that. Like, what we were circling some of the future days, being like, you can pile up some points here. You got to go on a little bit of a run, regardless of who your coach is. And they've done that. You know, some of these teams are really bad, but whatever. You got to get your points where you can get them. And so it's still kind of a TBD, but no, I mean, he's passed sort of the first test, but we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I don't think it's done by any means. Again, they've won 6 out of 8. It's bad teams. They've won 3 in a row. Good. It feels like they've righted the ship to a degree.
Yeah.
Is it a lock they're making the playoffs or anything? No. This is another thing I heard them asking Milbury. I think Chris Curtis asked this. Would you remove the interim tag from Sacco? Hell no.
No, there's no reason to do
that. Hell no. Why would I do that?
I don't need to do that.
I mean, he's probably going to finish the year, but I'm not committing to this guy.
No, you don't need to. You don't even
Hell
need
no.
to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see what you do. Do you even make the playoffs? What happens when you get to the play? Like, hell no, do I remove the interim tag? I'm not locked into him next year or anything like that.
No.
So I'm not going to go that far with it, but it was clear Monty wasn't the right fit. I think this is proof of that. It doesn't mean Sacco's the right guy, but I do think firing Monty was the right decision. And I'm ready to say that.
Good text in.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because they kind of agree with me, so it's obviously a good
okay.
text.
Good.
They also called me Keith, but regardless, it might be a talk to text. Who's to say?
Yeah, winners. It's a new text line, first of all.
This is a fresh idea. Oh, yeah, it's the same call-in number as now also the text
line.
Yeah,
so maybe they're, you know, talk to text isn't saved.
But I like this idea. Maybe they screwed up the timing, and they should fire their coach right before the playoffs, then they get that new coach boost
through the
playoffs, win the cup.
Well, let me amend it. If you know you're playing Toronto
keep the coach. Fire him right after.
You win game 7 or whatever, fire him.
And then you're
now
winning,
you
you're
got
going to
Florida.
Yeah.
Boom. Now you're going
new
on
coach
the run.
Boost.
That's a great take. Wait to fire him until the middle of the playoffs.
Not terrible.
Neely drops down behind the bench. Uh-huh. Sweeney drops down behind the bench.
Not bad.
You have Charlie or Jeremy behind the bench the way this goes.
But they have at least righted the ship a little bit, because I was wondering if they were going to make some roster moves. And I think because they've won enough games, maybe they're like, we're good for right now. The trade deadline's not for a while. But if they had gotten off to, say, you know, a 500 start under Sacco, I wouldn't have been shocked if they were like, all right, we need to speed this up a little bit. Maybe move on from a player or two.
I don't think they're out of the woods on that. But they're not done. But I agree. They come the trade deadline, maybe they're a team that now is, adding and looking to fortify their roster to make a run. I think Sweeney's actually been quite good at that as a GM. Or maybe in the meantime, if they need a kick in the ass, there's a hockey trade they could make. You've mentioned Frederick's name before. Maybe there's something you could do there. But right now, and they still have played more games than I think every other team except New Jersey in the Eastern Conference. So
they're going to get a break soon.
Yeah,
what are these guys playing so many games for?
Bruins have a lot of games out of hand.
That's right.
But they are right now third in the Atlantic Division with 31 points. Now, Tampa's played 5 fewer games.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
They have a snow out or something? How do they play 5 less games?
All the snow. Do they play their home games at the Trop? Why are they not getting any of these in?
It's a mess down there.
Yeah, so I have no idea. But they're right now third in the Atlantic Division. They're in playoff position, and it feels like they've righted the ship. Are you feeling any better about Jeremy Swayman? He was so-so last night. I wouldn't say great.
Yeah, because I was feeling bad about him. So I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm still wanting more. I'm expecting a top 5 goalie in the NHL. Like, I think by the end of the year, hopefully it's a lot closer to that than what it's been. I mean, it's still, 38th in goals allowed, 38th in save percentage, that kind of thing, like in the league. So he needs to improve, but even though not great opponents, back-to-back wins, that certainly helps. So I feel better, but the bar was really low.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it. Yeah. He's been better, but he's still not been good.
No.
So
Korpisalo has been better.
There's still more room for growth. No. That's true. Korpisalo was good last night.
Uh-huh.
Swayman Korpisalo was two nights ago. Thank you. Yep. In the Red Wings game.
Yep.
So Korpisalo was good the other night. Swayman was better last night. Meaning better than he's been, not better than Korpisalo. And, to me, I think he's been good, not great, and so there's more room for growth. But it does tie back to these players and how big of babies they've been. And that's the one thing I would give Montgomery. You said this earlier. I don't think Montgomery was the biggest problem they had. I just think he was the easiest fix.
Yeah.
The problem is these players are babies.
Yeah,
and
I know. It's funny because we usually – or – just the way it's looked at in other sports, It's like, oh, NBA players are babies. These guys are babies. Oh, look at these baseball players. They're babies. They can't play all the time. All these football players are shooting their way out of town. They're all the same. The hockey players are babies, too.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
And even if you want to say, even if you want to, I don't want to do this, but even if you did want to do this, and you do hear it from time to time, okay. The hockey hardos will say it. Oh, they all play so hard and this and that. Fine.
Is that right?
Let's say hockey players play harder than every other sport. On the scale of hockey player, these guys are giant babies.
Yeah, that's fine.
In the world of hockey, these are giant babies that they have.
That's
fine. I love Marchand, but like pouting his way through, Pastrnak pouting his way through, Swayman pouting his way about the contract negotiations. They are giant babies.
Well, it literally goes back to the Cassidy firing. You fire Cassidy, gets hired a week later, and wins the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't the problem, clearly.
No.
You guys just didn't like how mean he was to you.
No, and you can't trade the whole team. So, like, I got what they did there. I would have gone bigger. I wouldn't have just fired the coach and just blamed the coach because I thought the coach was pretty good.
Yeah.
But the players didn't want him anymore. How are you going to coach in that situation, short of trading the whole team? But they are a bunch of giant babies.
Like, how
on
long
this
can
team.
Any coach last
no, fair.
In the NHL?
Especially in that sport.
2 years?
So, Pastrnak last night, couple of assists. The one on the second Marchand. The first Marchand goal was a brilliant goal. Sharp angle. Second one was a great feed from Pastrnak. Marchand gets two goals last night, so he feels like he's waking up. He's now the leading goal scorer on the team.
I would say him coming alive has been a big swing in this stretch.
You need Pastrnak to keep waking up, and then you need to get your power play going.
Yes.
Like, we're going to play some of this exchange last night from Bissonnette and Marchand on TNT.
It's pretty good.
Which I didn't want to like, but I wound up bending the knee and finding it amusing last night. Their power play is horrible. And so, what were they again last night in that game? 0 for 5? Is that what it was?
That sounds right.
So, you got to get that sorted out, and that'll go a long way to unlocking these guys and, you know, unlocking Pastrnak. I mean, he's a machine on the power play. 0 for 5 last night. So, that's something you got to get sorted out. That's on the new coach. That's something I didn't like about last night's game. I didn't think Swayman was perfect by any means, but you're trending in the right direction there. So, no, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's done. I don't think you're making Joe Sacco the long-term coach of the Boston Bruins.
No, you don't
Bruins,
need to do that.
But it feels like your season is back on.
Take these points, kind of go. Yeah, this is sort of, I don't think anybody expected them to be like a wagon or anything, but you thought they were going to be a playoff team. And then sort of with this team and really this franchise over the last 14 years, it's, all right, what are you going to do once you get to the playoffs? That's what it is. You gotta surprise people in advance, or are you going to choke it away? So you're just waiting to get there. But in the early going, you're like, oh, wait a minute. They might not even get there. So at least this has righted the ship. It'd be surprising to me now if they did not make the playoffs.
Let's go to the phones here. Mark in Medford, always ready to talk Bruins. Go ahead, Mark.
Good morning, guys. So finally, after 28 games, guys, this is the first time this team has won 3 games in a row this season. That's shocking for a Bruins team, I have to say. But there are a couple of things, and you just stole my thunder a little bit. The power play is still friggin' putrid. No. And David Pastrnak, whether on the power play, 5-on-5, what have you, is not nearly shooting the puck as much as he used to. But on the bright side, it looks like this team is finally finding some sort of identity.
Yeah, I think... Maybe they found an identity. I just think they're not completely tuning out the guy behind the bench. And so if that's your identity, that you're a giant baby and now you're listening to the new coach, fine. I guess that's their identity. I think, Keith, you and I always felt that this roster was not the biggest problem. There were a lot of people who were like, the roster's a bigger problem than the coach.
I'm like, oh,
Sweeney's a bigger problem than Montgomery. I'm not as much of a Sweeney fan as you are, but I didn't hate this roster going into the year. They went out and made big signings.
No, they weren't getting enough out of it. We were talking about, I know he's
I didn't think they lost anything. I didn't like Ullmark. I didn't like DeBrusk. Grizzlick was, I didn't think they lost anything. They made big signings. Zadorov stinks, but Lindholm should have been an upgrade. I think this roster is a lot better than it played through the first couple months of the year, and it's just proof that they had tuned out the coach, and it was more about that than it was about their talent level. This is much closer to their talent level.
Their top 6 scorers from a year ago and their best goalie were all back. And so, like, and I think they beefed up some of their other guys, at least on paper. Now, maybe, I mean, you could definitely argue about the new acquisitions and if they're living up to it, but before the year began, I think we looked at them as like, all right, that's solid. You had a good young core. You re-signed some of the guys that you wanted to re-sign. I didn't think they were going to be the way they looked through the first month and a half of the season. He brings up Pastrnak.
So I was just going to say this. A lot of people bring up Pastrnak.
Yeah.
Text line. Pasta has the yips. He brings up Pastrnak. He's afraid to shoot.
I like to do these projections, right? Yeah. So they played 28 games.
Yep.
Do you know what Pastrnak is, how many goals he is on pace for?
Okay, well, I know because I was looking up this morning. He has 9 goals. We're whatever games into the year.
Don't try to do the math. Just take a guess.
40.
26.
That's it. I'm bad at math.
200 goals.
Yeah.
He is on pace for 26 goals. Last year, he scored 47. The year before was the 61 year. The year before that, it was 40. The year before that, it was the COVID year, so it was 20, but it was in a fraction of the games. Prior to that, 48, 38, 35, 34. So he is a, at worst, mid-30s goal guy, and that was early in his career. He's really 40-plus. He could run into a historic 61-goal season. So that's high. So, all right, say it's low. He should be like a 40, 44, 45-goal scorer. On pace for 26. The other one that alarms me.
Okay, take a guess at what he winds up with. I know what he's on pace for. Take a guess at what he winds up with. High 30s?
Yeah, 32.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, they've played 28 games. Like,
no,
they've
But he also could score 15 goals in a 10-game stretch. You know what I mean? Like, he's that kind of guy. No, I would like to see it too, but just, and this is not to let him off the hook and make an excuse for him, but similar to Jeremy Swayman. All right, Pastrnak's playing a little better last night. Swayman's playing a little bit better.
Yeah.
There's a lot more room for growth, but I would expect him to be closer to what he's done for his entire career.
I
don't feel like he's a bro. Like, he's got the yips. He's afraid to shoot. Like, I personally don't feel that way, but maybe I'm wrong.
I just think his goals are down because the power play numbers are down.
Yeah, exactly. If they get the power play going, he's going to fill it up with a bunch of goals.
Let me know when they get the power play going.
Once
they're above 12%, we'll let you know.
Yeah, you guys might be on to something once they get that going. And one of my favorite projected stats would be Charlie Coyle, who I know has run into some goals, so his goals actually aren't that. He's got 7 goals.
No,
so
I was going to say, he's actually third on the team. I looked all this up this morning.
He's not far off on even Pastrnak for goals. Do you know how many assists Charlie Coyle is scheduled to? Charlie Coyle, who, third line center.
Yeah.
How many assists?
4.
3. He is on pace.
That's gone down since the last time we did that.
Yeah, I think we did it before. It was 4. And I don't think he's had one since. Like, don't you, like, accidentally run into a couple assists, like, a week?
Uh-huh.
How do you have 3 how do you play as much as he plays and have one assist all season?
Yeah, no, it's tough. And
that's wild.
Yeah, Frederick's doing nothing. Yeah, that's a guy who maybe the contract or potential contract.
Yeah, I bet that's probably getting him a little bit.
Is in his head. And so
last year, and you're like, well, Coyle's not like a huge scorer. That's true. Or like even like a point guy. Last year, he had 35 assists. So you go from 35 to 3?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the hell?
I think we all saw that coming.
Yeah.
All right. So what do? You keep rotating? They're effectively rotating the goal. Well, that's not true. Corpusalo, Swayman, Swayman, Corpusalo, Swayman, Swayman, Corpusalo, Swayman, and then another Swayman?
We made a big deal out of Sacco's first game going with Corpusalo.
That was Utah on November 21st.
I was like, go with him again.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And he went with Swayman for 2. So right now, I feel like, you know, there was a back-to-back last night and the night before, and they don't have another back-to-back for, looks like, a while. So,
The next back-to-back isn't until early January, yeah.
So I bet they go 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. That'd be my guess. Because you do need to get Swayman to snap out of it. Swayman better be the goalie come playoff time. He better be the one playing better. So I'm okay with it. I was an advocate, though, 8 games ago to be like, hey, give it a shot with Corpusalo. But at this point, this is what they've done over the last 8 games, so I'm okay with that. Keep going with that rotation.
While we're projecting out numbers here.
I love a good projection.
While we're doing this,
yes.
one take that I had was on the goalies. Corpusalo.
Oh, yeah, big lean.
This year in Boston.
How's Linus doing?
Would outperform Linus Ullmark in Ottawa.
Uh-huh.
Ullmark right now, 307 goals against, .888 save percentage. Those sound like Corpusalo's numbers from a year ago.
Yeah, they do.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Corpusalo, 240 goals against.
Oh, boy.
With a .909 save percentage.
Jones might have
a finalist.
So I don't.
Jones
might
have fallen into one here.
I look.
Do you think
you doubt Hockey Jones at your own risk? Okay, you doubt Hockey Jones at your
That's
own risk.
That's looking pretty good.
Oh, it's just a hot take. Oh, he's just saying that. No. The Bruins tend to know how to structure things in front of a goalie.
Oh, it's a big goalie Bob compliment.
It is to a degree a goalie Bob compliment.
A big shout out to goalie Bob.
And it's the goalie coach in Ottawa catching strays, I guess.
Do you think the Senators regret giving Ullmark the Swayman contract?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the Bruins regret giving Swayman the Swayman contract?
Yes, probably. Yeah, I would say they do. But like this idea, this is what I never agreed with. The idea that the Bruins don't have the talent. I never felt that way because I don't think they lost hardly anything from a year ago. They've gotten better goaltending out of Corpus Allo than Allmark. DeBrus stinks. Anybody pretending that they missed DeBrus is
good
insane.
Lord, no.
Sniffing glue.
No, but I am surprised. Ooh, like bottling glue?
Yeah, sure.
You get high as a kite.
Keith, you pick your glue.
Any glue?
Yeah, whatever.
Elmer's?
Yeah.
Regular Elmer's?
Rubber cement.
You ever get some of that Gorilla Glue on your finger? It works. Like, you are like, I got to pull the skin off of my body in order to...
Yeah, the modeling glue, Gorilla Glue.
I'm not good with any of the glues.
No, I'm not good
with any of the glues.
Is rubber cement still a thing? They still use that in schools?
Oh, that would stick stuff.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, boy, would it. That would stick stuff. I'm surprised, though, circling back to your... Because you were, as of right now, you are right about the Corpus Allo Allmark swap.
I don't like the qualifier.
I'm just trying to get some consistency. I am surprised that you would want to also give Swayman the amount of money he's getting if even a guy, even a jackass like Corpus Allo is playing as well as he is.
Okay, but Corpus Allo's numbers aren't great. I just knew they would be a lot better.
They're not bad.
Swayman, no, but Swayman should be
like
an
elite.
Correct. I just think Swayman's
a much
better
player. Do you know what Corpus Allo is in the league in goals against average? So Swayman's like 38.
Yeah, 12.
Sixth.
So that's better than I thought.
Uh-huh. So like, could you get like a $4 million goalie and have him be your goalie and then pay? Now, this also would assume that you spend money on good players to play
defense
or
other players
forward.
No, I mean, look, that's fair. I believe in their structure. I do just think like the structure was good with Allmark and Swayman last year. I always felt way better about Swayman than Allmark because he's better. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an element where the players matter, but no, largely their system works. And if you wanted to make that case, you can. I would still rather have a talented guy in net, the more talented guy in net, beyond just the scheme, which definitely works in the regular season, less so come postseason time.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, you little angry elf? Biz here again with another softball question for you. And by the way, congrats on the Four Nations. Well-deserved. When are you going to stop working on your comedy routine and work on this team's power play? 31st in the league, clicking at 12%, and yourself only one power play goal in 27 games. What exactly are you saving them for?
Listen, Biz, these guys are out here trying to do a job. You're bringing them down. It's all you do is horsing around. I'm just trying to let them do what they're supposed to do, talk hockey, and you're creating havoc out there.
Wow,
it's time
your
to settle
PP
down,
is
move aside. I think I'm moving
really
in.
My question. You've already got
Quit
one coach fired.
PP.
What's going to happen with the power play tonight? Are you going to score one? Or are you just going to keep floating around there losing puck
33%.
Battles?
Times have changed. We're coming.
It
happened last game.
I said earlier, Keith, I didn't want to love that last night, but I enjoyed that exchange.
No, it was good.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, Marchand, the last time they had an exchange, he said, I saw the guys that beat the wheels off you there.
Yeah. Then he wears the neck brace.
To Biz, then Biz is wearing the neck brace.
I love a fake neck brace.
You like that?
I laugh every time. It's like Vince McMahon back in the day was on trial for like steroids or whatever, or like whatever trial he was on there for. And he showed up to court with a neck brace.
And that neck brace that he wore like wasn't even like bracing his neck.
No!
Like his head could turn and like you could literally see space between like the brace and his actual.
It was like a little thicker than a turtleneck.
It's a good point. The situation like memes and gifs of him and he really needed a neck brace.
So funny.
But him from headbutting the wall in Italy. So, I mean, that never gets old.
I always enjoy a Christopher Maltasanti neck brace.
Oh, yeah. Good.
That's a good meme.
Good one.
Also, so Tony Khan, Shad Khan's son, who owns AEW, there was an angle where he got like DDT'd or something or like thrown off like the ropes. Then 2 days later was the NFL draft, and in the war room, he wore a neck brace, which is like just carrying over the gimmick, which is hysterical. But anyway, I love a neck brace.
Nice. So look, I thought that was a good exchange last night. They do need to get the power play going, but they've won three in a row. They've won 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. And joining us here on a Bruins Thursday is Andrew Raycroft, the Razor, of Nesson. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, what's up this week?
Not much. How are you guys making out?
Pretty good. We're doing great. Bruins winning 3 in a row, 6 out of 8 under Joe Sacco. What's different?
Their defense is way better as a team. Their structure in the neutral zone changed. I think last week we talked instantly that was changing, which carried over into the defensive zone. The penalty kills, 19 of 20 since Joe Sacco took over. We've been waiting for that to turn the entire season. It just didn't make sense that they had the same personnel, the same goalie, the same coaches, and they couldn't kill a penalty to save their life. So that's gotten better. And it's just a defensive mindset that has been reset because of the change, but all around just needed a reset, and that's what's contributing to these wins. And Detroit's a good example. It's a boring game the other night. It's a terrible game against Detroit, but they found a way to pull it out because they're giving themselves a chance.
Should we feel really good about this 8-game start, or should we pump the brakes a little bit because of the opponents, for the most part, have not been great teams?
No, it's tough to win in the league. I'm not going to, because if they didn't win against those bad teams, we'd be crushing them for that. So, again, we know the pro schedule is a pro schedule. You're going to have softer points. I would say that last night's game, that's as tough a travel as you're going to get in the Eastern Conference to play at home and then have to go to Chicago halfway across the country for one game and then get back on a plane and come home back-to-back nights. So that's not easy to pull that one out. So I think you're probably not going to go 6-2 every 8-game segment the rest of the year. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this team is certainly good enough to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games over 500 in another 10 days.
I heard, I think it was Chris on the Greg Hill show this morning, asked Milbury about whether or not they should remove the interim tag from Joe Sacco, which I personally would not do. But do you think there's an element or a reason to do that for the players in the room? They know who the guy is for the rest of the year. How would you feel about removing that interim tag from Sacco?
No, I don't think it's necessary to do. They're not getting another coach this year. I mean, that's I don't see any scenario where that happens. So it's easy just to keep it as it is. This was our decision, and go win games, and we'll deal with it in the off season.
What do you make of David Pastrnak's season so far? He's off his, normal goal-scoring pace, and he's set some pretty incredible numbers over the last 2 years. I know they haven't scored a lot on the power play, and that might be a big reason why he hasn't, piled up the goals so far this year. But just overall, Jones and I aren't as down on him as seemingly a lot of listeners. Like, we're getting a lot of texts and tweets and things about...
Yeah, surprising.
People are kind of turning on Pastrnak a little bit. I'm curious what you've thought of his first 28 games.
Yeah, I was listening, and I appreciated your views. I think it's,
We're hockey guys. We get it. We understand.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
I appreciate the fact you guys spent 25 minutes talking about the Bruins, yeah. Which, that's remarkable at times in this city. So well done.
Thank you.
I'm 100% with you. So while I was listening, I wanted to make a couple points. So I agree 100%. He hasn't got one easy goal on the power play all year. I mean, that used to be an automatic where you'd get two or three easy ones just off of a faceoff play and just off of a power play. So that hasn't clicked for him yet. That affects his goal scoring ability, and the power play is not that good. And quite honestly, as bad as it could possibly be in the NHL, they're at the bottom. The other thing, I looked up while you guys were talking, top 30 guys in the National Hockey League. And I also agree he's going to score 15 goals over 10 games and jump back into the top 10 very quickly at some point. But right now he's outside the top 30. The top 30 guys, the lowest shooting percentage is John Tavares at 13.6. David Pastrnak's shooting percentage is 8. 8%. So when the lowest guy in the top 30 is 13.6, most of the guys are up over 20% shooting percentage. David Pastrnak's going to revert closer to the mean there. He's going to get his shooting percentage back up over 10, 12, 13, 15%. And when he does, you're going to look at his goal totals and say, oh, he's got 35 goals now.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft of Nesson, joining us here on a Bruins Thursday, Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Beyond just some bad luck, though, what's wrong with the power play?
Yeah, they haven't connected enough passes. I think that's a big one for me. I think you see almost on every opportunity, there's a bobbled pass somewhere, and it really slows them down. And when you bobble it once, the defending team can close a little quicker. They get to the next pass a little quicker, and then you start rushing as well. So there's certainly some individual performances that need to be better, just simple details. I think that they haven't had a shot mentality from the top enough at times. I think they get passing around the perimeter and try and make a perfect play to David or try and make a perfect play through the seam, which has hurt them a lot of times when they do get set up. So those are the two main things for me is just being better with your passing, more crisp, more dialed in, but then also having a shot-first mentality. I think they've done a better job retrieving pucks. They've done a better job with their entries lately. They just have to clean up the last two, and it should open up a little bit more.
As soon as Sacco took over, Korpisalo got that first game. We all made like a big deal out of that, and we were wondering how it was going to go. And since then, it's been pretty straightforward. Korpisalo gets a game, Swayman gets two, back to Korpisalo, Swayman for two. Is that something you think they're going to keep going? I mean, barring, you know, injury and barring, back-to-backs and things like that, do you think that's probably going to be a pattern they continue to use?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that's the ideal scenario where you're playing once a week if you're Jonas Korpisalo and Jeremy's playing twice a week. And especially this time of year, especially with the travel, they have a big road trip coming up. You're going to want to spread things out a little bit. Now the defense and the structure in front of the goaltenders is better. That keeps everybody in the mix as well. So yeah, I absolutely foresee a scenario where at least over the next 4 weeks, you see Korpisalo play four times.
How do you feel, Razor, about the Four Nations face-off? The rosters were locked in last night. A bunch of Bruins are going to be a part of this. Boston's going to be one of the sites. Are you a fan of the format? Do you like they're doing this? How do you feel about it?
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure. I love international hockey. We haven't seen and the reason I say that is because we haven't seen this since 2018 when they did a similar scenario. They had six or eight teams. I understand the political landscape we live. Russia not being involved in a hockey tournament doesn't feel quite the same for me. There's a lot of great players being left out without them in the mix. So the four teams, I'm not sure about. I'm not sure what the teams and what the intensity is going to look like, but I am glad that international hockey is getting back, and I think I will love it once they get playing. I haven't seen it for so long. I don't have the same buzz as what I might have in for the 2010 Olympics, let's say.
So they have the Olympics. They have this now, the Four Nations Cup. Was there also like a World Cup that they had at some point, like off and on World Cup? Like what other events are there for country versus country?
Correct. So this is going to essentially be the World Cup. Okay. I think the view of this is going to be the World Cup in 4 years from now, have more teams. This was planned a little bit later. I think they're putting it together just to get something started. The World Cup of Hockey is player and league generated, so everybody has a say in it. That's important to the Players Association, a revenue generator, also having some control as players on what the schedule look like, etc. Whereas the Olympic hockey's, the double IHF and the Olympic Committee, it's a whole different, the league really doesn't have any say in any of that, so, or the players certainly. So two separate things, but the Four Nations is essentially the old World Cup of Hockey in 96 and in 2004, and I think the idea is to do this every 4 years, Olympics every 4 years, and then you have international hockey every two.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft, joins us every Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Razor, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a weekend.
Thank you.
Andrew Raycroft joining us here on WEEI. How about that?
I like country versus country stuff.
Oh, I like that,
I love
too.
It. Yeah, it is a little odd. Four Nations, so it's just, for those that don't know,
it's weird in the middle of the year, too. Isn't that strange?
Well, the Olympics is, or was.
Well, that's true.
So I guess when they do the Olympics, they take a little Olympic break.
I guess I get it more for the Olympics than
but
I do
But there'll be way
for
more games in the Olympics. This is sort of like still like a showcase, which I think I will get into. So it's USA, Canada, Finland, Sweden.
Yeah.
That's it. So, like, obviously no Russia, but also David Pasternak's going to play. There's no Czech Republic. There's no Slovakia, none of that. I'll still watch it. I mean, Charlie McAvoy is involved. There'll be a bunch of Bruins in there. Swayman's on the team. So I'll watch it. I think it's good. Like, I always look forward to the Olympics. It's one of the best events when you have...
Yeah, but that is a best on best, right? Like, this feels something short of best. I get
Yeah, you're
his
missing
point.
Russia, but I mean, Canada's always in the final, it feels like. So Canada's the best.
Well, yeah, but then when I think of the best teams in the world, am I like, I need Finland there?
No, they're good, though. I mean,
no,
I understand. There's really only eight teams that compete
every
year.
But you are missing out. Will Ovechkin be healthy? I don't know. You're missing out on Ovechkin. As you just said, there's no Pasternak. Like, you are missing potentially a lot of the best players in the world. When I say best on best, that's what I mean. The teams that are playing, you're getting the best on best.
Yeah.
To a degree, I guess I have to really dig in on the rosters.
They're probably four of the five best countries at hockey.
That's probably true.
Year in and year out.
Yeah.
Like, again, Czech Republic can go on a run. But I think it'll still be good hockey, and I'm still looking forward to it. But you're right, there is sort of that, there's no Russia. Like, Team Russia is usually, especially they're always a good villain, too.
How about that? Razor pumping us up, too. Not only is he listening to 20-plus minutes of hockey talk, but it's rare in this city, he says. I mean, who
else?
It's
a huge compliment. He could listen to us talk about it for that long.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. He's like, oh, boy, I better be on my toes for whatever they're going to ask me, because these guys... You never know what kind of sneak attack questions they're going to ask. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones. That's also your text line. Keith, we got the Jones family Christmas tree up. It was a two-day event, but it's finally up at our home.
2 days, huh?
Well, some lights were out. We can get into it.
I got some thoughts on the Keith family tree.
Well, let's do that. Let's get into some Christmas tree etiquette, some thoughts, and how to handle it each and every year. That's next. I want to get into some Christmas tree etiquette here in a moment.
Yes.
You have a text you're snickering
at? Yeah, no, it's a good text. Because we're talking about the Four Nations Cup that's coming up. USA, Canada, Sweden, and Finland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist myself. Not the crazy deep end ones. Don't tie me in with those people. I'm not like those people. In fact, us real conspiracy theorists, like, oh, I don't know, Sasquatch exists, or we haven't been to the moon, get dragged into the weeds with these people that were like, oh, like 9/11. I'm like, no, leave me out of that.
Yeah,
not in that.
I mean, not landing on the moon is up there, but it's not it's not that far. I agree with
anyway,
you on that.
Anyway, yeah. Somebody texted it into the new text line.
Buzz Aldrin, pop you right in the face over that take.
Yes, talk about a guy who's taking a little...
beef with Coppola's daughter?
Good point.
No, not Coppola. Stanley Kubrick's daughter.
Kubrick's daughter.
So Kubrick's daughter, she blocked me on Twitter, too. So because Kubrick filmed the first moon landing, he filmed it, and he even basically told you in The Shining, if you really put the clues together, it's right there in front of you.
Okay.
And
I've not done that, but I will.
But when people reach out to Stanley Kubrick's daughter and say anything about how her dad filmed the moon landing, she gets really hot and bothered. Like, so hot and bothered that you're like,
what are you so angry about?
We're real close.
Right.
We're real close to the truth. So anyway, I can't see her tweets anymore.
But what's the Keyspiracy?
So the text line is now the call-in line. The call-in line is the text line. It says, Keith, but does Finland even exist? That is a conspiracy theory out there that Finland...
Oh, is this one you subscribe to, or is that...
No, I mean because I've met Tuukka Rask, but...
I've never been there. You been there?
True. No, it has something to do with, like, the fishing trade. If you really look into it, there's, like, a long history of people that don't believe Finland even exists.
Okay.
So this is also one of my other favorite conspiracy stories.
Yeah.
So...
Christmas trees. I want to hear all these.
Yeah. Nick, do you remember this?
They must produce a lot of Christmas trees.
Our dear old friend Jason Rossi, who used to produce the show. I remember I was talking to him about different conspiracies like Chupacabra and stuff like that, and like cryptids. And he's like, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And I'm like, you don't believe in any conspiracy theories? He's like, I don't think so. He's like, well, I do believe in lizard people. He's like, they live in like the center of the earth, and they're like, all of our presidents have been lizard people. I'm like, so you believe in that one? It's like, you think I'm crazy Sasquatch?
That's not even his craziest take.
No, yeah. he has a long list of bad takes.
Lizard people are different than the reptilians?
Yes.
They are. Okay.
Reptilians are aliens.
Yeah,
they're softbox crab people.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good
call. Tall grays, small grays.
Yeah. No, you're Nordics.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, okay.
Reptile people are like lizard people, and they're all like presidents and stuff. They run everything.
Right.
And they live in like the center of the earth.
Yeah, I don't really subscribe to any conspiracy theory. Well,
but
I mean, besides the lizard people.
Besides the most crazy one.
Yeah. Besides the craziest one.
Yeah, just that one.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I guess I do.
Oh, yeah, so I'm dumb for the other ones. Fine. But yeah, so you have your Christmas tree up. I have my Christmas tree up.
Yeah, yeah, so it was a 2-day event at the Jones household, but I want to get into your tree. Yeah,
so,
go for it.
I'm kind of bummed out by this, and I'll be honest. I don't love my tree.
Yeah.
So where we put the Christmas tree every year, the ceilings aren't very high. Maybe 8 feet. Like, high enough for me to, like, reach my hand up.
Uh-huh.
But if I go, like, a little tippy-toe, I can touch it easily.
Yeah, you can put a Nerf hoop in there, but you're not.
You pop a little shot.
Yeah, but it's a low trajectory.
Can't be a big arc.
It's a Porzingis 3.
You got to...
Yes. Dan Molly.
Yeah,
yeah. You got to exactly. Fire that thing in there.
Real flat.
But so, over the years, and it's one of those ones that has, like, the window kind of thing. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, you can see it from outside.
Sure.
And normally, we have gotten these, like, barely fit in the house trees, which... is a pain in the tuchus to get in there.
Yeah,
however,
it's a nightmare doing it, but you feel good after it.
Do I scratch the ceiling? Of course I do. Do I have to saw some of it off in the house? Of course I do.
Yeah.
Is there, like, scratching the doors and everything else? Yes.
Yeah. Are there needles
everywhere? But it looks amazing.
For months and months,
you take a few steps back, you're like, wow, that is a big tree in our house.
And you pop down a brew dog after that.
A couple.
You've accomplished
something. 2, 3. Yeah. 1 year, actually, it was too big for the stand that we had, and I got it. It was up there fine. Went to bed. Hour later, you hear this huge crash. Came running out. Ornaments broke.
Yeah,
like, this tree was enormous. Way too big for the house.
Nice.
And I was like, oh no, Christmas is over. So we fixed that. I got a new stand. So then this year we go shop. Well, first of all, there's this. Up the street, there's a guy's, it's like a farm, like a makeshift kind of farm. Not like a full farm, but they have stuff. And I want to explain the story because. Yeah. So, please. Like, they don't grow their own trees, but they bring them in.
Okay, I see what you're
saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
But, like,
they have
other stuff there, and we like them local, and we've supported them the last several years with that. My wife's like, I don't even know if they have trees. Like, maybe give them a call. So I call the guy up. I won't say the name, so I'll fake the name. This is a dead-on impression. You don't know what he sounds like, but you're about to hear
it. Okay.
Jones Farms. I'm like, yeah, hey, like, do you guys have any Christmas trees? Not today. Should be in tomorrow. 6 to 7 foot premiums. 7 to 8 foot premiums. Balsam fir. I'm like, okay, so you don't have them today?
Yeah.
So anyway, so like,
you don't have any, like, 8 foot premiums?
So this was like Sunday after Thanksgiving. I'm
They're
like,
sold out of 7 foot premiums.
Like, you don't have them yet?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine. He's like, should be getting the truck tomorrow. I'm like, all right, great. So I call the next day. So we're like, we'll go Monday. I wanted to go Sunday, but we'll go Monday.
Sure.
Call the guy up again, like, Jones Farms. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, sir, just checking in to see if you have any Christmas trees today. He goes, should be getting them tomorrow.
You're like, is this a recording?
I swear to God, I thought it was a recording.
Is this a Kevin McAllister talk boy?
He seriously was like, should be getting them. Just talk to the guy today.
Credit
should be
card
them tomorrow.
Oh, you got it.
You're home early.
I was like, honestly, sir, I'm like, thank you so much. So I said to my wife, I'm like, I think if I call tomorrow, he's going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
So we go somewhere else. And she's like, we don't really need a huge tree this year. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, we found one that in person, I'm like, well, it's taller than me. I'm like, that's a good start. Kind of thin.
Oh, no.
I think I could, like, wrap my arms around it.
Is it sparse?
No. So that's the one thing.
Okay,
it's
good.
Full.
Yeah, you want
full
a full, you want a full tree.
Jump.
Yeah, good.
It was a 6 to 7 font premium. So anyway, but here's the problem. I was able to take the tree into the house by myself, set it up by myself, stand it up into the stand by myself. Horrible sign.
And do the stand all by yourself?
I did it all by myself.
Screw it in, or you got like a you got like a foot pedal one?
Yep. Foot pedal.
Yeah, I've heard they got the nice ones. They just like
no,
it's all
screwed
foot.
It in.
Yeah, you did it by yourself.
That tells you how not big the tree is.
That's
so my
that's
kids
also tells me a tree might be crooked.
Yeah, that's a well
impossible.
That's
impossible.
A problem.
So anyway, like
that's
I'm just
a
like
problem.
I was
you
like,
don't have the greatest eyesight. So
I do not. That is true. So, but it's
if you did all that by yourself, that is a problem.
So it's a smaller tree, and I'm just like shaking my head, and my wife's like, "The kids love it. Don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything."
I'm like, "This tree sucks.
Yeah,
this tree sucks.
Like, don't have anybody come over for Christmas."
I'm like, "I got to go back up to my guy there. Let's get an 8 foot premium."
Hey, look.
I'm a little embarrassed by the tree. It's really full. It looks. I don't have a picture of it. Otherwise, I would. Maybe by the end of the month, we'll have it on the Twitch chat on YouTube.
Yeah.
But
what you got to do is like an Uncle Jack situation where you kind of get like another tree in front of it, like a bigger tree in front of it for all your pictures.
We have room.
Yeah.
We have room for another tree.
Oh, we can bump in another
one. A picture
one.
Of a bigger tree.
No, that's
next
what I mean. That's what I'm
not
saying.
A
like
tree.
A bigger tree superimposed
tree.
Over your tree.
It's pissing me off.
Now you're talking.
How's your tree look?
Well, it looks great.
Okay.
I could not do it by myself. I'm also a weakling.
It's at an 8 foot premium?
But it. It's got to be at least 8 feet. It's very full. Couldn't hug it.
Yeah.
But we had a light issue. We popped out all our lights this year.
Light issue.
And like, it wasn't just like a light here or there. It was like a whole, like half of a strand. It wasn't like one that connected to the next one. I kind of thought that was a problem that had been solved.
No, lights still go out, Joe.
But like
solve everything.
But like big stretches like that.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was a problem that had been rectified.
So are you like the little lights?
Yes.
So cheap
is wherever I found them. The cheapest of the cheapies is what we have.
But sometimes even with those, if you like twist one of them,
you get like
20
a whole
of them go back on.
I thought that was a problem from the 80s or like 90s. That's still a thing we're dealing with.
No, the 80s and 90s, those things were so hot. It was amazing that the trees didn't catch on fire.
We rolled them all out. And way to let down your kid. We put the tree up. We roll out all the lights. We're like, we can't decorate this thing. These lights don't work.
Oh, no.
And we're like, we'll get lights tomorrow, Lucas.
You want a candy cane?
Go do some homework. Go do some homework.
Go read a book.
Get more lights tomorrow.
Oh.
It wasn't our finest parenting moment.
No, that's tough. But yeah, the tree's up and it... From certain angles, it looks good. If you lay on the floor and look up, the tree looks big in our house. But other than that, you're like, oh, that's a mini tree.
Is Keith less of a man with his weenie tree? You can weigh in on this. So 617.
I can answer that for
779.
You.
779-7937. All your Christmas tree etiquette. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. Let's get into the Red Sox. Juan Soto updates for you. Red Sox not eliminated yet.
Oh,
that's promising.
How about that?
We'll get into that next.